welcome to Linux Crazy Podcast. This is podcast number 62. In this podcast, we have the two Zachs. The first one is one of Weirded Out's twin boys, Zachary, and he will tell us all about one of his favorite games, Warzone 2100. The second Zach is Nathan Zachary. He goes by the name of Zach, and I noticed him on the forums as one of the fine moderators there, and also noticed his documentation on OpenBox and LXDE. If you'd like to reach me, my email address is david@linuxcrazy.com, or stop by and join us at the IRC. The server is Freenode, and the channel is #LinuxCrazy. Also, if you're listening to this podcast and you want some more information about the podcast, go to linuxcrazy.com. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Bye.
G'day, David. G'day, Linux Crazy listeners. This is Weirded Out. It appears I am back from a very long hiatus, and today I thought I would do another little special interview with one of my children. This time it is my son, my oldest son, Zachary. Say hello, Zachary.
Hello, and hello, Crazy Linux, and this is for you, David Abbott.
Okay. David, Zachary is a big fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about one of Zachary's most favourite games on Gen 2 Linux, of course. And the one we've chosen is Warzone 2100. So you can look at this as a bit of an interview, but also as a bit of a review and an insight into why Zachary likes this game in particular. So I'll start with Zachary. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Warzone 2100?
Yes. Well, the graphics is good, and you get to build a lot of things, and yeah, it's really good.
Okay. Just to elaborate a little bit more about the game and what it does, it's a war game, as the name suggests, and it is set in the future, again, as the name suggests. It's a more of a tactical type, sort of half tactical, half strategic type game, whereby you have a battlefield and you have a sort of like an over-the-top perspective of the game. And similar to the likes of Command and Conquer, you are able to command or build your forces and command your forces to defeat the enemy. And you have wonderful tricks up your sleeve to be able to do that. You also are able to research new technologies in order to get more advanced vehicles and units and weaponry. Okay, so we'll move on to the next question, Zachary. So which other games that you know about are similar to Warzone 2100?
Well, there's only one that I know that is very, very similar to Warzone 2100, and that is Boz Wars.
Okay, so Boz Wars. Now, if you were to choose which one is better at the moment, which one would it be? Would it be Boz Wars or would it be Warzone 2100?
Well, what do you think, Dad? It's Warzone 2100.
Oh, okay. Well, I've never played Boz Wars, so my opinion wouldn't really count for much here. But, so you think it's Warzone 2100. Okay, well, we'll move on. Tell us three things you like about Warzone 2100.
Well, there's the graphics.
Yes, you've said the graphics.
How you can pause the game.
Pausing.
And some multiplayer features. And I'm better than Dad in it because I've got 2 bronze stars, 1 gold star, and a medal on it.
Oh, okay. So you think you're better than I am, do you?
Yeah. Well, you want to bet?
No. Well, I don't. Not about betting, because I don't want to take what little money you do have. But we'll definitely have to have another showdown the next time we're on. We have a chance to play it. Okay. So there's a few things you like about the game. How about destroying the enemy forces? You think that's a good part of the game?
Yeah. It's the best part.
And being able to research new technology and being able to build new tanks with that technology?
Yes.
Okay. What is your favourite weapon on the game?
My favourite weapon is the Hellstorm.
The Hellstorm? Oh, yeah, that's the Hellstorm, that's like the howitzer or the artillery.
Yeah,
it's a pretty cool one, that one. Yeah, I think that's probably my favourite weapon, actually, too. It's good to put that on a big tank and go after the enemy.
I like putting it on a dragon.
Oh, yeah, the dragon. Yeah, that's like the most advanced shell you can put on your tank. Okay, so that's a few things you like about the game. Tell us at least one thing that you don't like about the game.
Well, at least one thing is that you need more to research. Guys, if you made Warzone 2100, then you need to put more things to research, because I've researched all the things.
Okay, well, to be fair to the developers of the game, the research tree is really quite extensive as it is.
Exactly.
It is, which means there's a lot of things to research. But Zachary has played the game so much that he's run out of things to research and try. So I guess it's not really an appeal to say that there isn't enough to research, just that he would like more stuff because he's basically explored everything. So that's one thing he'd like to see. I guess to throw in my 20 cents worth, seems to be a bit of a bug with the game. I don't know whether it's a Gen 2 specific bug, but it seems to happen with all the window managers and desktop environments we've tried, which includes GNOME, XFCE, OpenBox, and KDE. And that is, sometimes when you're playing the game and there is a voice to say, for instance, that your research is complete or a unit has been completed, what tends to happen is the screen slows down, doesn't it, Zachary?
Yeah, and, very, very bad.
And it becomes difficult to sort of play the game. You can work around it by hitting Escape to bring up a menu and then Escape again to remove it, and that seems to speed the game up again. But that could be just something in the port to Gen 2, or it could be a bug in the game. We're not really sure. Actually, it's a good idea to ask your friend who also plays the game on Windows to see whether or not he has that same problem, Zachary. Maybe you can do that and see whether or not he has that issue. Okay, so I think you've pretty much answered what you'd like the developers to do with the game. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the game? Anything that comes to mind?
The fixing problem and the more things to research. And also, if there can be more buildings, and if you can put new features to creating more tanks, hovers, and also aircraft.
Yeah. That's an important thing about the game, is that there are so many different types of units you can use. There's, as Zachary said, there are tanks. You can build different types of turrets on the tanks, with different weapons, from lasers to machine guns to artillery type things. You can build sensors, can't you, to increase the range of your artillery.
Yeah.
And you can also build, they're called VTOLs, which are the aircraft, to go and attack your enemy bases as well.
Bombardier bases.
And you can also build commanders, which are really cool, because with a commander you can assign units to that, and all you have to do is move the commander, the units will follow, and the commander will target a particular enemy structure or unit, and all the weapons, all the units that are tagged to that commander will actually attack.
And the way to do that is get a tank, make a commander, and then get the tank, and then put the mouse on the commander, and you'll see that there's this little chain thing, which means to connect. Yeah. Is the commander thing, and then you just click on the commander and it follows.
Yeah, and it's the advantage of using the commander is that it actually will allow your units to target more accurately, and as you get more victories using the commander, then you can tag actually more units to it as well, and the more accurate will be their aim also. All right, Zachary, I think that's about it, really. How old are you? I didn't ask you that question earlier on.
I'm 9, and my birthday was last week.
Yep, so as you can hear, he's quite young, and it is a war game. And I know perhaps quite a few parents might find that a little concerning, but this game, you're not shooting people for a start. It's not a first-person shooter. It's purely a tactical game, and you are fighting using robotic units, not human units. So in that respect, I find it to be, pretty much acceptable in terms of the violence level of it, because there really is no violence. You don't see blood or anything like that. So it's quite a tame game. All right, well, thanks, David, for your time. I know this has been a lengthy interview, but I hope you still can use it. I know Zachary will be listening intently for it. So thanks again, and over to you.
And then also one more question, David Abbott. Well, can you make sure that there are more Linux crazy game things? Thank you very much. And I understand that you can't answer that question. So, that's the end. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Zachary. I think what he's asking, David, is whether or not you can talk more about games on your podcast. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, all right. No worries. Well, I know you're not much of a gamer, David, so I don't expect you to take up gaming just for my son, Zachary, but thanks for your podcast. It's magnificent. Bye for now.
Today, I'm pleased to introduce to all of you Nathan Zachary, Gentoo Forum moderator, and soon-to-be Gentoo developer. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, David.
Is Gentoo your first open-source project?
Yeah, Gentoo is the first open-source project to which I've contributed. I've used open-source software for a long time, even when I was still a Windows user. I preferred applications like CDX, VLC, OpenOffice, and Firefox to their closed-source alternatives. That being said, I didn't actually contribute anything to those projects except the occasional bug report.
How long have you been a Gentoo user?
I started using Gentoo in 2005, but I really had no idea what I was doing, and I failed many times at the installation alone. However, the installation process gave me great insight into the inner workings of Linux and really acquainted me with the terminal emulator.
What has your journey been like with Linux, and how did it start?
The first time I ever tried Linux was in 2001 for a school project. I installed a Red Hat 7.1 Seawolf and started using it as an alternative operating system. It was really quite interesting because my computer programming professor said, "Zach, you seem bored with the things we're doing in class. Have you ever heard of this operating system called Linux?" I hadn't at the time, but I was really fascinated with the idea that an entire operating system could be developed for free and by people all over the world. I wasn't ready to switch all my computers over to Linux at that time, but I did keep it on this old laptop I had. That being said, I didn't do much with Linux until around late 2002, when I started losing faith in Windows based on how many computers I was fixing on a weekly basis due to malware, spyware, and virus problems. Also, starting in 2003, I worked for a hosting company that ran CentOS on all their servers. That pretty much forced me to learn some of the bash commands, the file system hierarchy, and permissions. I then started distro hopping, and from then until about 2005, I tried tons of flavors, including NOPix, Fedora, Mepis, PC Linux OS, Arch, Slack, Senwalk, and Kubuntu. I still have a computer on which I try out new distros, but I found that Gentoo is really the only one that met all of my needs.
What motivated you to become a Gentoo developer?
I firstly became a staffer working as a moderator on the forum. So many people there had helped me with all my installation issues that I started getting online and helping people with their problems, sort of a pay it forward type of mentality. A few months later, Roy Bamford asked me if I wanted to become a forum moderator, and I graciously accepted that offer. I guess the biggest motivator for me was the idea that I could participate in something that I use much of the day, every day.
Yeah, that's where I first noticed it was on the forums. I try to go by there about every day and see if there's any way that I can help out, and that's when I noticed you there helping out a lot of different users. That's how I got the idea of asking you to do a podcast with me.
Well, great.
Walk me through the process of becoming a Gentoo developer.
Becoming a Gentoo developer is a really interesting process. All of the specifics regarding procedure can be found on the Gentoo website. However, I didn't really do anything to become a staffer except help out in any way that I could on the fora. I answered a lot of questions, primarily in installing Gentoo and in desktop environments, but I also poked my head around in the non-support sub-forum. I never really got involved in off the wall, though. Anyway, like I said, Roy asked me to join the moderator team. Then I had to take the staffer quiz, and my mentor helped me out with the questions to which I couldn't readily find the answers. He, Pila, was incredibly helpful with regard to the rules and responsibilities on forum moderation with Gentoo. I eventually received my @gentoo.org email, username, developer web space, and all that fun stuff. Now I have an awesome mentor for becoming a full developer. I've read the dev manual and the developer's handbook, but there are certainly still things that are very difficult to figure out when looking at example e-builds and commits. Ben is generous enough to help me understand all those areas which are not covered extensively in the manuals. I will be submitting my e-build quiz in the very near future. I'm just polishing up my answers a bit. Then I'll have to go through the training period with my mentor before I have the ability to mistakenly botch up something. I mean, commit to the tree.
What aspects of Gentoo do you feel the developers and the maintainers have gotten right?
I believe that we as a distribution do most things really well. I think that our strongest point is the willingness of most members of the community to help one another. The users, which I believe includes developers, as we were all Gentoo users before becoming developers, all volunteer in the ways that they can. We help each other with problems on the forum, via IRC, through other chat protocols, by filing bugs, by testing new features like the as-needed LD flag, about which Diego wrote a while back, by supplying e-builds for the Sunrise overlay, etc. We have many strengths, but I think our plethora of support media comprise our largest asset.
What is it about Gentoo you would like to see improved?
I would like to see a little more flexibility when it comes to recruiting developers and accepting help when it's needed. I think that the process of becoming a developer is one of rigor, and while I think that's both necessary and appropriate, we need to be more open to user contributions. For instance, a project that's severely lacking in manpower is our documentation team. Gentoo has always been known for incredible documentation, and right now our documents are falling behind in some areas. It is easy to see the reasoning behind this decline. There are many people working diligently on creating new documents and updating older ones, but the volume of work is just too much. I've always had a good line of communication with Josh, and he's helped me with learning GuideXML, the markup for our official documentation, creating documents and getting them committed to the official repository. I think that if more users are willing to learn GuideXML and to document their own experiences with installation, desktop environments, security protocols, and whatever else, then we could have an even more robust and perpetually updated collection of documents to aid one another. However, that brings me back to my main area of concern, more readily accepting users' contributions. We might have an easier time with updating documents if we could collaborate more with the general user base.
Yeah, there's been some discussion on IRC about starting a wiki for doing some of the preliminary documentation work. The only thing that people were talking about was that you kind of have to think about the guide XML format before you even start doing the documentation from the beginning. I'm like you, I kind of enjoy the guide XML myself personally, only because I like kind of doing hand coding in HTML too, which is kind of a strange person, but I put it there and then I can look at it and I can see kind of what I created. But they said that they would like to have the developers that would do that's going to do the documentation would like to have to be able to do it a preliminary on a wiki. So maybe something's going to start up as far as making it a little bit easier to create the documentation. I'm with you though. I think there would be plenty of users out there that would probably like to get involved if something was started. Maybe it's a good thing to start maybe some kind of a, like a class or guide XML and get users involved in doing it.
That'd be awesome. I know I have seen some posts by Josh on our bug reporting system, especially regarding the X server, that say, you know, please just submit something in plain text and we'll do the guide XML. So I know the need is there, and we do need to do something to get the documentation updated, even if a lot of users aren't willing to learn guide XML. That's fine.
What are some of the projects within Gen2 that you enjoy contributing to?
Currently, my favorite projects are the forum and documentation. I'm also part of the Gen2 Support Everywhere, GSE, team, and we're branching out to other support websites, mainly Linux questions right now, and helping users there with Gen2-related issues. I especially like the idea of GSE because it's this prototypical synthesis of philanthropy and project-based PR. I get to help out others with their Gen2 problems and at the same time increase Gen2's presence in the Linux world by showing that we're willing to help people from within their preferred support environment.
What applications would you like to see included within Gen2?
The application that I waited for a long time is now in the official tree. I was waiting to use Tint2 with all my OpenBox setups. I don't really like having a panel all that much, but Tint2 is lightweight and fully customizable. What will make it even better is the ability to hide it or the option to allow other windows to cover it. Both of those features are supposed to make it into the next release. I would also love to see the stabilization of Base Layout 2 and OpenRC. I had that set up on all my machines until the newer versions were released. In my opinion, they now require too many keyworded applications for a primarily stable branch environment. Besides those exceptions, every other application that I've gone to install has been available.
Yeah. What open source software can you not live without at home and at work?
Oh, gosh. There are tons of applications that I use on a daily basis and need. The long list of programs that I have installed on every machine would be Thunderbird, Sunbird, OpenOffice, some type of terminal emulator, preferably LX terminal, GPicView, WAW Media Player, FileZilla, PCMan FM, and LeafPad. While a few of those applications are a little heavier than I prefer, they offer everything that I need, including familiarity.
Which open source programs would you like to see developed?
Firstly, Sunbird could use some work, especially in load times and performance in the month view mode. Sometimes it gets a little on the sluggish side. Secondly, I'd like to see the interface of the GIMP improved to be more user-friendly. It may be that I used Photoshop for so long that I'm having trouble learning the new environment, though. Lastly, PCMan FM is an incredible file manager, and I'd like to use it for managing the desktop background and icons as well, but the inability to remove or change the My Documents icon on the desktop is keeping me from doing so.
What resources have you found most helpful when troubleshooting within Gen2?
Bugzilla and the forum have helped me the most. I usually check those two spots before looking at any other resources. Typically, if I can't find the solution to my problem by looking at the build log, runtime error output, or either of these two sources, then I've stumbled across a new bug and need to report it myself.
I read your OpenBox documentation. If you were installing OpenBox on a fresh install, what programs would you use to enhance the desktop?
I like many of the LXDE components to enhance the OpenBox setup. For instance, LX Appearance is incredibly helpful when setting GTK themes and icon themes. LX Terminal is a lightweight VTE-based terminal emulator that doesn't pull in a lot of dependencies. PCMan FM, great file manager to use with OpenBox. LeafPad is an awesome text editor, and GPicView is an amazing image viewer that loads insanely fast. Other than those components, I'd recommend Conky, and or Tent 2.
Do you get to do much programming?
Not really all that much lately. I've been swamped with work in XHTML, PHP, and MySQL. Other than those web-based languages, I haven't had much time to program. I do basic things with XML and Bash, but nothing worth noting, really. Just whatever is necessary to help customize my OpenBox setup.
What can users do to improve Gentoo?
I'd love to see more stabilization requests. If you've been running some program from the testing branch and it has been in the tree for more than 30 days, file a stabilization request. I think this is mentioned on your Linux Crazy website, and I wish more users would take this advice. Our testing branch seems to be great most of the time, but our stable branch feels outdated in many regards. Like I said before, we don't yet have base layout 2 or OpenRC stable, and that would be wonderful to have for all the users who tend to run the stable branch exclusively.
Yeah, for me, it got to the point that I had so many programs in my package keywords file that I just went ahead and just went, you know, all the way without having to even have a package keywords file.
Oh, I understand that. I think most developers probably run the testing branch, but on my production machine, I try to keep it all in the stable branch just to see what that experience is like for users who do run completely stable.
What are some of the most difficult things to configure on a new install?
I think with the current documentation, it would be very difficult for a new user to get X installed using IvDev. The official X guide doesn't even show that IvDev should be listed in input devices. And there are several post-installation steps that are missing as well. For instance, merging the X server pulls in dbus and hald, but it doesn't start either of them by default, nor does it add them to your default run level. Therefore, when the user issues start X, he or she will have neither keyboard nor mouse. It's not that these aspects are difficult to configure. It's just that the documentation is out of date, and a new user will have to search through forum posts to find answers. Other than that issue, I think that laptop power management can be difficult on some machines. The documentation there is pretty solid, but there's one error, if I recall correctly. The power management base that is mentioned in the guide conflicts with PM utilities. Both provide the necessary tools, though, so it's not really a big deal. Configuring one's power management scheme can be a little tricky, though. For instance, I had a rough time doing something that I thought would be really simple, automatically changing X backlight settings when ACPID detects a switch from AC to battery. Ugh, that was rough.
In your travels on the forums, what users would you like to see recruited to become Gentoo developers?
There are lots of great people on the fora, so I don't think I can narrow it down to certain individuals. One person that I thought was doing an excellent job with helping people was Sylvain. His username is D2 Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many months later, he was asked to join the team. There are tons of excellent users that would make wonderful developers in various areas. Everyone has their little niche, and I would love to see anyone who wants to help out in any way step up and contribute. I mean, you know, it's like, don't be afraid. The developers don't bite. Well, not that hard anyway.
Yeah, I just got involved by just kind of hanging out with the other with developers and then asking them if there was anything that I could do to help out. And you just, over a period of time, you develop relationships with certain people, and then they start asking you to help them. And then before you know it, you're official.
Mm-hmm.
What are some tips you can give users if they want to become more involved and create relationships with current developers?
Actually, you summed up what I was going to say quite nicely. I would suggest finding a developer with whom you share interests. Then you can see what that developer is doing firsthand, and you can study his methodologies for commits, e-build writing, documentation writing, etc. This apprentice-style learning experience can help a user become more involved with developing for Gentoo, and it offers a nice starting point to the training process.
What are the specs of your current boxes?
Oh, boy. I have 12 boxes right now, so I don't think I will list all the specs. However, that being said, none of them are very impressive. The three I use on a regular basis are BlueTux, DevTux, and Tux Toddler. BlueTux is my main work environment, used for, you know, day-to-day tasks. It is a, it's a basic P4, socket 478, at 3.2 gigahertz with 1 gig of DDR400. It's running OpenBox. DevTux is my developer machine on which I do all my testing and, developing. It's a Celeron 420 at 1.6 gigahertz with a gig of DDR2-667, and it's running LXDE. Tux Toddler is my little netbook, a Samsung NC10 with 2 gigs of RAM running OpenBox. Actually, all the specifics of Tux Toddler can be found attached to my entry into the 2009 screenshot contest. Nothing fancy on any of them, really. Just going through the specs of my machines here made me realize that I desperately need to build a new rig.
Yeah, the screenshot contest is going along pretty well. We have around 52 entries so far.
Yeah, there's, I was looking at some of them. Some of them are just beautiful screenshots, and I'm glad that a lot of users supplied some like configuration files or what they were using. That it's really nice to see that.
Yep, really is. And also, it's the screenshot contest is actually part of the 10-year anniversary celebration, we call it, and there's some developers and users that are involved right now putting together a new live DVD for the party. It's going to be the 10.0 Gen 2 live DVD.
Yeah, that's a neat project. I never really used the live CD or live DVD. I always used the minimal installation or like the System Rescue CD. But I think that having a new live DVD will really help out with PR, especially on sites that don't seem to put much about Gen 2 because we don't have this release cycle like most other distributions.
Yeah, it's hard. Some people don't understand that basically have a release every day, but it's just not like the other distros to where, you know, they have a six-month release announcement and that. Basically, my box is, if I update it today, it's pretty much I've got today's release.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the things that makes Gen 2 so cool. But it does lead to a struggle to getting some publicity.
What gives you the most enjoyment within the Gen 2 community?
Two things within Gen 2 really boost me up. Firstly, I love seeing a brand new user get a base Gen 2 system installed with the help of people on the fora. It's awesome to see a new user who embraces the steep learning curve and gets help from all the resources that we have to offer. Secondly, I think it's great to see developers and users work together. When we put our minds to something, we get it done. One just has to watch the developer mailing list to see this collaboration in full effect. That mentality of collaborate and conquer, admittedly, I stole that phrase from the Linux.com promotional t-shirt, is something that really improves my personal morale, and better yet, it's indicative of an increase in perceived collective self-efficacy.
Tell us a little more about yourself. What do you do in your free time?
I'm 24 and a lifelong student. My biggest passion in life is academic study of all kinds, but primarily child development and behavior modification. I have bachelor's degrees in child psychology, elementary education, and positive behavior support. I'm currently pursuing my PhD in clinical child and adolescent psychology and an MD in pediatrics. My research interests include psychotherapy for abused and maltreated children, effective parent-child interactions regarding defiance and externalizing behaviors, and atypical gender development in boys. In my free time, I enjoy reading and analyzing books of philosophy, especially ancient philosophy and Eastern beliefs. I also love photography, and I particularly like to take floral macros and high contrast portraits. Lastly, athletically, I enjoy running, biking, hiking, and swimming.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like to say?
I guess really just to users who are looking to try something new, maybe apart from the bigger desktop suites like KDE or GNOME, I would like to, you know, just put a plug out there for LXDE. Since I use OpenBox on most of my machines, and LXDE uses OpenBox by default, it seems like a nice lightweight environment that people can try without having to do so much by hand. It's just incredibly snappy when it fires up, and right now, even though it's still in very primitive form because all the components are just now coming together nicely, it's a great project to get involved with. Just bug reports would be helpful from users who are currently using LXDE. So other than that, that's about it.
Thank you very much for the interview. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Okay. I'll see you on IRC in the forums.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.